So today is a focus on a third element of spirituality, of nurturing this part of ourselves, of spiritual growth, of development, and using this text, the spiritual self, Reflections on Recovery in God, we've talked with the guidance of Dr. Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, we've talked about choices and growth, and we've talked about time, our use of our time and history. And today we're going to focus on a section in the book, which is maybe even the last third or a quarter of the book, and that relates to God, to the Ribono Shel Olam, which is, of course, especially for us as Torah observant Jews, that's the definition of spirituality. So he has a chapter on God as higher power, divine providence, understanding God, and a few others. But what I want to focus on is chapter 16, a nekuda that he calls turning our lives over to God. Or maybe another way of looking at this is refreshing our commitment to a life of halacha. Turning our lives over to God, the idea of what we want. So he quotes here something from the 12-step program about this notion of turning our lives over to something spiritual, to God as we understand him. That's the context. But really what he's getting at is the Mishnah here and the sources, the top of the page. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono. We should nullify our Ratzon before the Ratzon of Hashem. And then the Mishnah tells you why that's a good idea. But the notion that somehow a person could have multiple wills, multiple Ritzonos, what Dr. Twersky calls turning our will over to God. What does that mean? What does it mean that we have a will and that Hashem has a will? So perhaps one way to think about this, one way to frame this idea, is through a fascinating conversation that appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin here on Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Omar le Antoninus le Rebbe. Antoninus, the Roman leader, who was a friend, a colleague of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he said to him, Guf u'neshama, the body and the soul, you see it in the second piece, Yecholin liftor atzmon min hadin. They can both acquit themselves from divine judgment. How? Ketzad. Guf omer, the body says, Neshama, that soul that you gave me, Ribono Shel Olam, that's chatas, that's sinned. Why? Why do you say it's the soul part of the person that sinned? Shemirom shapir shemimani harini muktol ke'evin domim bekever. Because after the person dies and it comes before God, it says, wait a second, the body, that doesn't have any ability to sin. Look at the body after the soul departed. The body is lying there like a stone. So the body says, I'm not responsible for these things that are in this ledger. And Neshama Omeris, the soul says, Guf chata, the body sinned. Shemiyom shepirashti mimenu, from the day that I separated from the body, harini porachas ba'aver kitzipor, I'm flying like a bird. I'm not doing averos. I'm a spiritual essence. It's the guf. So Antonina says to Rebbe, look, we've got a catch 22. Amalei, so Rebbe says to him, Em shalucha mashal, I'll give you a parable. Lama dover doma, what is this parallel to? Lamelech basar vadam, to an earthly king of flesh and blood, shahaya lo pardes noah, that had a beautiful orchard. Vahaya bo, and it had in it beautiful fruits and all that. And he put two guardians. Echad chiger, one was lame, one guardian, one watchman that couldn't walk, ve'echad suma, and one watchman that was blind. So these two watchmen, one who's lame and one who's blind, are in charge of this garden, this orchard, that has b'choros nos, that has delicious fruit, beautiful, ripe fruit. Amar lo chiger l'suma, the chiger, the lame, said to the blind, b'choros nos ani roeh, I see beautiful fruits, b'pardes, in the orchard, bav arkiveni, put me on your shoulders, unavim la'ochlam, and I'll bring them and eat them. Rachav chiger al gabi suma, the lame one sat on the shoulders of the blind man, and he directed him. They brought the fruits and they ate them. Later, liyamim ba bal pardes, the owner of the orchard says, "Wait a minute! What happened to my beautiful fruits?" Amar lo chigem klum yesh li raglaim lahalech ben. The lame one says, "I couldn't have done it because I don't have mobility." And the blind man says to him, "I couldn't have done it because I can't see." Ma asa, what did the man do? Hirkiv chiger al gabi suma. He put the lame man on top of the blind man. V'dan osam ke'echad, and he judged them at once. Judged them together. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi neshama v'zorka beguf. God brings a neshama and he throws it in a guf. V'dan osam ke'echad, and judges them together. So now this Gemara is very fascinating on many levels. But there's actually one part of this Gemara that I would argue is imprecise. It's imprecise. The Gemara is trying to explain something, but there's a part of this Gemara that's a shtickle imprecise. Because, as the Rambam tells you here in the Moreh Nevuchim, in the next piece, this is in the translation, man's shortcomings and sins are all due to the substance of the body and not to its form. In this context, the neshama, right, is nimshal, is compared to which of the men? It's compared, according to the Mefarshim, to the chiger. The soul sees, but it doesn't have earthly mobility. Now, the piece of this Gemara that's imprecise is because the vision that the neshama has, the interest that the neshama has, is not to eat from fruit of this world. The soul is not interested in that. But nonetheless, this Gemara is still important because what it's telling you is that a person is a composite. In the words of Dr. Tversky, this is the end of chapter 16, a human being is a composite creature comprised of an animal body and a spirit. The animal body has its will, which consists of drives that press for gratification. The human spirit has its will, which is essentially the will of God. Mature human beings must choose which of the two will determine their course through life. Yes.
Right.
Oh, because this is exactly the point that humanity is endowed with this vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. It's this recognition. Exactly. It's this recognition, that's what he's coming back to in this book, that we're developing, that every human being has the opportunity to choose what is their ratzon, what is their will. And that will is very significant. The Pius Etzner writes in the little pamphlet, B'nei Machshava Tova, says that a person should grab on and appreciate even those small ritzonos interests that they have, because they accrue, they develop over time. So what we're saying is essentially we have to choose between the ratzon of the guf and the ratzon of the neshama, and every human being has that capacity. The neshama, to borrow the Gemara's analogy, although again, not exactly as it's using it, the Gemara is indicating us that the neshama is a chiger, the neshama has an ability to see meirachok. The neshama can see, it just doesn't have standard mobility. It's just the challenge is what the guf sees in the moment. That's what he points out earlier. He tells an amazing story tells an amazing story of a board-certified training psychoanalyst, which is, this guy was a very chashuv person, and he says that none of my psychological knowledge and personal therapy had stopped my destructive drinking. Because, unfortunately, his ratzon was meshubet to the guf. So finally, one day, this very accomplished physician calls AA. And he says he can visualize this huge woman. And he says, "Can you help me?" And she said to him, "If you listen." He realized that this woman had never even gone beyond fifth grade. But she taught him about understanding the different ritzonos of a person. This psychologist, this psychoanalyst said the following, that he told amazing Maisa, that she went out of town, his sponsor, his coach in AA, and he said, "What am I going to do when you're not here? How do I make a decision? How do I know what the right thing is to do?" She said, quote, "Go out on the street and ask the first person you meet. That person's judgment will be better than yours." And he said, "Don't laugh, I did just that." This is the recollection of a man who was 10 years sober. Because potentially, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's will is, especially if it's overcome by addiction, right? It's totally meshubet to the guf. It doesn't see anything other than that. He says something amazing. Dr. Twersky says, he quotes from a recovering addict who said that, quote, "In all my years of drinking, I never once took a drink unless I had decided that it was the right thing to do at that time." The person, Lo Aleinu, who was addicted, they thought, they made a calculation, it's the right thing right now to take a drink. But what ratzon was that? It was the ratzon that had been hijacked by their guf. Not the ratzon of the neshama, which is seeing meirachok, that sees the ruchnius, that sees the consequences. Right? What is the difference, you could argue, between the guf and the neshama? You could frame it as the yetzer hara, which says, fill my my base desires right now, and the yetzer hatov, which says, look at the neshama, look at the consequences, look at the spiritual side. It's two different ritzonos, two different wills. Batal ritzoncha mipnei ritzono. Subdue the will of the guf that says, eat, drink, for tomorrow you will die. Just be focused on, you know, satiating those bodily urges rather than thinking about what's meaningful, what's consequential, what is going to be the result of this. And you see this. You see this difference of ratzon in children. He uses a great example. A child, uses an example of a child. A child, you know, if you give a child money for their birthday, so a child might spend all that money in the candy store and get sick for a few days. But that's because a child's ratzon is the ratzon of the guf. It makes perfect sense now why the Avos Reb Nosson tells us that a person develops a Yetzer Hara when they're born, but they only develop a Yetzer Hara when they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, because that's when they develop a sense of Ratzon of Hashem. The Ratzon of the Neshama, the ability to see beyond what's immediately gratifying them. That's what it means to be responsible for yourself. To have that Yetzer Tov, that Ratzon of the Neshama. So the Ratzon of the Guf says, you know, I think this is the right thing at this time, because that is in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. The Ratzon of the Neshama says, well, what's going to be the consequence of that in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in an hour, in a week, for the people in your orbit? So what do we do? So what do we do? So what do we do? We turn over our will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono. And this is not abdicating individuality. This is not saying I'm not responsible. It's adrab, it's the opposite. It's making a choice to say that I want to choose proactively. I'm making that choice of choosing the neshama. This is essentially what it means to be a committed person to the life of halacha. Somebody would say, well, you have no autonomy in Judaism because there are tons of rules. Well, the answer is, of course you have autonomy. You have bechira chafshis whether you want to follow them. Do you want to subjugate your will of your guf to the will, to the ratzon of your neshama, of the Rabbona Shel Olam? So by choosing that...
There's also a sense in which if Hashem knows your will is to do His will, prevent opportunity.
Of course, exactly.
So, of course,
the goal is that mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that the Rabbono Shel Olam habali tar mesayin lo. But what it turns out, what Dr. Tversky is pointing out to us in this process of spiritual growth is to realize that we have these competing ritzonos, these competing wills, and that choosing to turn over our will to something higher, to something that has vision beyond what the summa of the guf has, that is a spiritual choice. That's living a spiritual existence. On the most basic level, that might be turning over your will to somebody on the street who can see the destructive behavior that you have and encourage you to live beyond that. But of course, for Yahadus, that's turning over our will to the Rabbono Shel Olam, to the inner will that we really have deep down of what ultimately defines us. And that's perhaps why a person who chooses to live a life of halacha is choosing ultimately to live a spiritual existence. They're not abdicating their responsibility as a person of free choice. They're leaning in to the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, of course, at the deepest level, the ratzon of each person.